I am a huge believer of the constant learning. Even now, I'm always learning something new every single day about various things, whether it's real estate or personal development or things that interest me in general.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. I can't tell you how excited I am to announce our guest today, Alina Trigoub. Alina, thank you so much for being here.
Jada, it's my pleasure. Great to be here.
Awesome. So everyone, Alina joined the TF Management Group LLC team in February of 2021. Alina spearheads marketing and investor relations, as well as educational activities. Alina's expertise has been built upon her personal journey as an equity investor, as well as through SAMO Financial, the company she founded and built to provide education and alternative investment options to her clients. Alina is also a very well-known speaker in the space. We're so glad to have you here. Why don't you start us off with telling us where you were before you got into real estate, and then what drew you into the space?
Sure. Thank you, Soja. Appreciate the introduction, and absolutely. So my journey began almost 30 years ago when my mom and I immigrated to this country. As a poor immigrant, I was deciding on where to go to college, what kind of career to get. And someone said, hey, you're good with numbers, so you'll be good in accounting. And I followed that advice blindly, mainly because I knew accountants were in demand. And after trying to be a tax accountant in public and then in private world, I realized that accounting was not for me. So I left the accounting field and went into the information technology, where I spent 20 years and had a pretty successful career. But while working in the technology world and doing a variety of things, I still had a background of a tax accountant, and I always was thinking about taxes because mainly mine and my husband tax brackets were growing as our careers were growing, and I was always looking for ways to lower the tax impacts. And during that journey and research, real estate kept coming up, and I kept saying to myself that I have to start investing in real estate because it seems to be the only way to lower taxes. And so finally, I took action about 8 years ago, started doing my research. I wanted to find something locally where we live, which is in New Jersey. But New Jersey being a very high tax state and high prices, I was not able to find anything that would make the numbers work for us. So I decided to look out of state. And while researching various out-of-state strategies, I came across the world of syndications, and after checking it out, reading about this, I realized that this was a viable strategy for our family. So I decided to take action and start investing. So when I found the first deal, it was heart-wrenching to make that decision to invest in the very first project because, you know, it was investing a large sum of money. It was $50,000. It was and still is a large sum of money with someone I've never met before in a place I've never seen in real life other than Google Earth, and doing it virtually. So it was definitely extremely stressful experience. But I did additional research, I did due diligence that I thought I should do at the time, and finally pulled the trigger, invested. And let me tell you, after that, there was this snowball effect, if you will. I started investing in a second, then third, and fourth, and so forth. And I've invested in a whole bunch of syndications after that. And then after doing it and sharing my experience with my colleagues at work at the time and my friends, who a lot of them are working at Wall Street because we're very close to the city, I realized that most people have never heard of syndication. So I decided to start my own company, which was Sama Financial, with that purpose of helping other people essentially follow my footsteps and be able to diversify their portfolio completely outside of Wall Street, build this passive income, save on taxes, and have to create wealth for the generations to come. And while I was building Sama Financial, a mutual friend of mine introduced me to my current partner, Mike Zlotnik, who is the fund manager for TF Management Group. And after talking to Mike, we realized that both of us had what each other needed, and we decided to partner up and join each other forces. So I joined TF Management Group and now spearhead investor relations and marketing for the team. That's where I'm at today.
Awesome. That's a really awesome story, Alina. And there's so much there. I'd love to circle back on one aspect of the beginning of your journey, which was when you were looking at syndications and found out about them. How did they compare with the other real estate opportunities you were looking at, like potentially maybe some turkey rentals or whatever it is that else you were looking at?
Sure. Such a great question. I was looking at a small residential 2 to 4 units multis in New Jersey at the time. And again, I kept evaluating and trying to make the numbers work. I even went into the contract twice, but got out due to the things found during the inspection that they weren't acceptable and I wasn't able to get the necessary credit for them. In general, syndication seemed much more viable option because, number one, the numbers work. Obviously not on all of them, but the ones I considered at the time seemed to work for me. Also, what I realized that syndication, investing in syndication was and still is a lot more hands-off than any other passive investing, as people call it, for instance. A lot of folks consider turnkey investing as a passive. I don't think it's completely or as passive as syndication, mainly because when you invest in a turnkey, and for those that don't know, it means that this turnkey provider offers you a single family house, you buy it from them, and then they place a property management to manage it. And you were supposedly just collecting the check. Believe it or not, when there are repairs or breakages or some large checks that need to be paid, property managers will call you. And then other times, if they don't know how you want to proceed with certain things, then the property managers will do things the way they're used to doing, and that may not align with your strategy. And it's always important to stay on top of them and follow up, have periodic calls, know how they treat your tenants, how they maintain your properties to make sure that everything is well maintained. Where in syndications, when you invest in a syndication, the moment you sign the documents and wire the funds, after that, your work is done. And you literally just sit back, relax, and watch for the updates and watch for your distribution checks when they're supposed to come in. There is nothing else that you as an equity partner, passive investor, is supposed to do. So that's, to me, that's a huge difference. And that is truly passive because once you invest in the project, your work is done.
For sure. Now, thinking back to that time, when you first learned about syndications and the numbers seemed maybe comparable to what you would be achieving with a regular rental, did it cross your mind that this is too good to be true? If not, we can go somewhere else, but I'm curious if that was on your mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a skeptic by nature. So yes, it did cross my mind that it potentially can be too good to be true. And so my research involved doing a lot of follow-ups, speaking with a lot of existing passive investors that I was able to find on BiggerPockets. Been a huge fan of the community, and I've been really active in the past. So I talked to a lot of people, and then I also found a way to connect with the past investor or the syndicator that I invested with as my first investment. He made a small mistake, which I took advantage of. So basically, at that time, I guess mailing lists through MailChimp and other marketing platforms was not an option or was not as popular. So instead of BCCing his investors, he CC'd everyone. And I took advantage of it by emailing every single person on that list and asking to connect and talk about the experience with the person. So a couple of people responded, and that actually was the turning point for me to invest with this person, because they gave a really good positive feedback about the operator themselves. So his mistake turned to his advantage, essentially.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure. So as a skeptic getting into this space, what else did you, I mean, obviously you were able to reach out to other investors of a sponsor, which is tremendously valuable information, because you know, oftentimes a sponsor will make sure to give you a positive reference if they do give you a reference. But what else did you do, and what did you learn along that path as far as how to decide to make an investment, and what sort of lessons would you share with the listeners?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Thank you. Great question, Suja. So I am a huge believer of the constant learning. Even now, I'm always learning something new every single day about various things, that, whether it's real estate or personal development or things that interest me in general. And so with the syndication investments, I have learned a lot with the first one, and I have learned a ton more over the years and while investing in the second, third, and so forth syndications. And after accumulating that knowledge, I would say that there are three essential steps when evaluating a project. And I just want to clarify, the project can mean a lot of things. It can mean a single project, or as in the case of our group, TF Management Group, which is a real estate fund management company, it could mean a fund that invests in other people's deals. So the first and foremost, you have to evaluate the sponsor or the fund manager or the syndicator, whoever you are potentially planning to deal with. You need to check the backgrounds, learn more about their track record, history of operations, how they performed in the past. Definitely talk to them, see if you can get any references and recommendation. And while, you know, there are privacy concerns, that can also happen by checking the potential audio recordings of the recommendations. Many people have not written, but the audio recordings that they post either on their website or on their professional profiles and some of the social media platforms. See what other people say about the operator and talk to them, ask questions. And by the way, I have a list of questions that I've developed over time that passive investors can ask a deal sponsor. So if you would like your listeners to get that, let me know. I'm happy to share that list with you.
Absolutely.
And so that's step number one. So first, talk to the operator, see if their strategy and their overall approach aligns with your beliefs, with your long-term plans, and whether this is a person that you feel confident you will be able to build a rapport with and you're confident to pass your money to. So that's step number one. Once you pass this step, the next step, if it's a single deal, then evaluate the markets where they invest. For example, let's say it's an apartment complex that they're buying, and let's say they're buying it in DFW. So look at the DFW fundamentals. Does the market have the infrastructure that supports buying more apartment complexes there? Is there lower supply and higher demand for apartments of this specific class in the area? What are the major employers in the area? Do they attract more people? Are the people still coming into the area? Is the population growing? And then also, when you look at the major employers, are they there to stay? make sure they're not going to be replaced by the next Amazons tomorrow. It's not, let's say you have a hospital or a major university, places or a manufacturing plant that will definitely stay there and will continue attracting more labor into the area. So things like that need to be looked. And then the last and final step is to evaluate the deal itself. And when you look at the deal itself, again, whether it's a fund or an individual deal, always look at the two components. Look at the quantitative and qualitative components and try to align them. See if they tell you a story. So, for example, going back to that DFW apartment complex, let's say that the offering memorandum says that we're going to raise the rents by 15%. Well, if it's an A or B plus type of area, yeah, most likely you can raise the rents by 15%. But if it's, let's say, D plus or C minus area, how realistic is it to raise the rents by, you know, this high percentage? Can the people in that area afford paying rents that are so much higher than the existing rents? Is it realistic? And I'm not necessarily saying that it's not, but it needs to be verified, and it means for you to do your own due diligence and also ask the operator questions so that you can better understand how they're thinking of making this happen. And maybe they will be able to raise the rents by 15%, but maybe it will not happen over the period of 1 year, rather it will last 3 years. And so look at the underwriting that they're sharing in the offering memorandum. In addition to rents, also look at the expenses. If, let's say, they're saying we're going to lower expenses by 10%, see what they're doing. Are they implementing RUBS? Are they potentially putting the maybe just electric charge or water charge back on the tenants if it's not on the tenants yet? So essentially look at the proposed strategy, and if something doesn't make sense, ask operator the questions. And while you're asking questions, also watch how they answer and what they tell you. Do the answers make sense? And do the answers align with their proposed strategy that is detailed in the offering memorandum? And that will help you to put the pieces of the story together and see whether the deal, in fact, does make sense for you. And then last but not least, what's also important, look at the risks associated with this project. Ask the operator how they're planning to mitigate these risks, and if anything comes up, what is their plan? What is their strategy to mitigate or avoid risks altogether? And then compare that with your own risk profile. If that matches your risk profile, if you're comfortable with the level of risk they're planning to implement, then by all means move forward. But if not, then pass the deal and find another one. There are plenty of deals out there, and by networking and talking to other people, you can find a lot of projects. So if one doesn't fit your profile, don't just jump on it because the numbers look good. So always evaluate and decide if whether it makes sense. If not, then find another project or a fund for yourself.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all were taking notes or go back and listen to it, and because there is so much useful information, applicable things that you can do to get comfortable with the deal. Thank you so much for that, Alina. And before we wrap up, I'd love to get your take. You know, you've been now doing this for a little bit, helping people invest. What are the primary reasons why people either A, decide to invest, or A, keep them from really getting started in syndications?
I think part of the reason that people do not get started investing in syndication is the mindset, their limiting belief. As we talked earlier, Suja, it's people think that it's too good to be true, then it most likely is. In some cases, that's the case, and in some cases, it's not. And then when you're looking at the returns, always keep in mind that you have to look not only at the numbers, but you have to look at the return on your time in addition to the return on the investment. How much time do you put in and how much you get out of this? In the case of syndications, it's very similar to the stock market investing. Once you put the money in, then you essentially rely on the stock market. The main difference between stock market investing and syndication investing is in stock market, it's like throwing a dart in the dark. You don't really know how that stock will behave. With syndications, you get the projections. The operator or the fund manager tells you, we anticipate getting this return, and that is based on an extensive analysis, quantitative analysis, mind you, and in addition to the qualitative, that tells us this is what we project and that's what we expect to get. And in a lot of cases, operators are able to follow those projections again because they've put their efforts into making it happen and because they have the successful track record of executing. So back to your question, people typically start because either they pass that limiting beliefs point or they have someone close to them whom they trust who told them, yes, I worked with this operator, you can move forward. Another way or a way to pass the limiting beliefs is to educate yourself. For instance, in my case, I started by reading books, listening to podcasts, talking to people, and all of that helped. It's not one source of information, it's multiple. But when you absorb it and when you don't understand something, ask questions, it helps you to get educated. And when you're educated, it helps you make informed decisions. And when you're informed, it helps you pass that limiting beliefs of your mindset.
Awesome. That makes a lot of sense. I really like how you explain that, Alina. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been such a treat to have you and hear your story and words of wisdom. There's so much there. So everyone, please, Alina, will you please give us a way for the listeners to get in touch with you or anything else that you'd like to share?
Absolutely. So yeah, I will share with you the list of questions that your investors can ask either an operator or a fund manager. In terms of reaching out to me, they can email me at alina@tempofunding.com. It's tempofunding.com. Or they can find me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all take some time to reach out to Alina. And thank you so much again for coming on. Can't wait to see what's going on with you in, you know, the next time you're on the show. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.